When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Oh my God. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Noah, I heard a little bit of that. That was the first "Here's Nikki," where I heard a little bit of a tiredness in your voice, time you've talked this morning.
I haven't even drank any water. I just feel like my throat is so dry. I haven't had coffee.
Go get some water, as you say it. Okay. Oh, there you go. There's a Nalgene. God, you're still sporting a Nalgene. Nalgenes came out in like 2002. I feel when I was graduating high school, Nalgenes were like so cool. And I think one of my first comedy bits from when I did stand up for the first time was like, people always talked about Nalgenes, like you could drop them from space and they won't crack. They won't destroy. And I did a bit about like, who is dropping them so far? Like, I'm just dropping them on the way to class. Like, I don't need this guarantee of like, as you're looking at the Great Wall of China from space, you can drop your Nalgene onto one of the towers. Actually, I just found out that is not a true thing. That you can see the Great Wall of China from space. I found that out on Reddit. Did you know that's a myth?
I didn't even realize it was a thing.
You didn't even know it was a thing. Okay, so the thing that I just put out in your head, erase it. You cannot see the Great Wall of China from space. You've never heard that before, that like anecdote?
I don't think I have.
Oh, well, get with it, Noah. Jesus.
I'm still truly erase it.
I know. You're back in 2002. I mean, that's really impressive to me that you kept an Nalgene. Every time I get a water bottle so that I stop using water bottles, like a reusable one, it leaks. It's not good enough. I lose it. This whole reusable thing has not made me use less, because I am someone who loses things. It's not made me use less. It's made me lose more. But it seems like you have stickers on that Nalgene. Like it's been through some times with you. What's like the oldest thing you own? You don't lose things that often. Are you messy? Wait, you told me you are messy. You said you are messy, but you know where everything is.
I'm an organized chaos. That's what I call myself.
Okay. I like
but
that.
I lose jewelry all the time, so I don't really get any jewelry. But when it comes to other things, I can pretty much keep them for a while.
Yeah, the jewelry thing is I just wear a necklace until it falls off my neck naturally by natural occurrences, like rusts off or it gets pulled off by a dog or like a dog's paw gets caught in it and yanks it or a baby. I've lost so many valuable things. I mean, I lost those $600 of chips. I lose everything. And I used to really hate it about myself because I was so, it's just an indication of like, I can't have nice things. I'm so rough with everything. Recently I was getting a spray tan, which is the story of my life. Not the one I got yesterday, the one before that, weeks ago. And at one point you have to like wipe off your, at the end of it, you wipe off your hands with a wet wipe. And she like held it out and I just was like, and she goes, wow, you're aggressive. And I was like, that's like how I move. I was like, I don't even know how you would do that in a slow way. Anytime I try to like do something that is, if someone catches me being aggressive and too rough, I try to just slow down. And then I look like I'm in space looking at the Great Wall of China, like just so slow. I have no desire to go to space. Do you?
Absolutely not.
Is that a man thing? I mean, I know there's female astronauts, but
I think it's a billionaire thing. I think it's just like a way for them to compete with each other.
Because it's a thing like that only billionaires can do, or really super smart people can do, that have to go to so much school that they don't have time to make $1 billion because they're training to be astronauts. And then, yeah, you're right. And it's just like, it's the only thing that is just available to billionaires. Yeah, that makes sense. And I love how Elon and Richard Branson were like racing to get to space. It's so stupid. And I don't care about space at all. And my dad's very interested in space and really doesn't like my whole point of view about it. But I mean, unless we are trying to find someplace else to inhabit, I mean, I know it helps us understand us to explore space, but I just don't care about like this satellite discovered that on Mars, the compounds in the dust might support a microscopic life. I just don't care. Or these are the first shots of the Mars rover. This is the surface of Mars. I don't know why I don't care. I should care. That's kind of interesting. But I'm also someone who doesn't care about going to see, you know, spectacular sights that I could see on Google Image or, you know, Oculus, you know, the VR, I could really go there. There are some places that I would like to see or that I pretend to see when I'm on vacations with men who care about that stuff. And I go, oh yeah, babe, I can't wait to go to Machu Picchu, when really I would prefer to just stay in our little, you know, compound safely, where we drink bottled water. I mean, we're going to Mexico very soon, mm-hmm. Noah. And how do you feel about this girls' trip we're going on? We're going next week to Mexico the week after.
Yeah.
With a bunch of ladies. And yeah, like a week. Yeah, we'll be gearing up for it in a week, I guess. I like can't even get my head there yet because I have so much work to do before then. Is that the same way you feel?
I feel the same way. Also, when it comes to traveling, I don't like the act of traveling. I always have so much like built up anxiety and I just avoid thinking about it and like packing and all that. But I like being in a different place with good people. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
The beauty of packing for this trip is that we're not trying to like look cute. It's just a bunch of girls like lazing about. So that'll be good to remember for me. I know that's easier said than done. Just because I've been on these before and I just wear the same thing every day practically. But we are with a lot of cute girls. One of them's a model. Yeah, there's expectations. Carlisle Forrester literally camped at the federal building last night or two nights ago on the sidewalk so that she could get a passport in time to come to Mexico. It was wild. I saw her yesterday. We got our nails done. Before that, I got a spray tan. Before that, I was all over the place yesterday. But I didn't do sets last night, so I just came back here, watched The Bachelorette. Wanted to hang out with a boy and maybe watch The Bachelorette with someone that I like spending time with. But they were too hungover. So that's a good sign that they were too hungover at 8 o'clock at night to hang out with me. Oh, life. And then, but The Bachelorette, you can see on my stories, my Instagram stories from last night. I don't know. It doesn't really keep my focus that much. They did this thing where they made, you'll be interested in this. They made Katie, the Bachelorette, go on a date with, they're out of ideas for dates because this, they're still dealing with a COVID world. So they can't, usually the dates are like, they went to the town square and they danced with the children and I got to see them with children. And then we went and made maracas at a maraca factory. You know, they always do something with it. It involves other people or like something interactive, but these are just really like lone dates. There's this guy they keep bringing out of nowhere. If you're watching The Bachelorette, who the fuck is this guy? This, I'm assuming he's homosexual. No judgment there. This gay guy that is like a photographer who looks like he's dressed. He looks like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, but without any of the pirate stuff. So he just has the weathered look of him with the eyeliner, but no other attributes. If you know what I'm talking about, when was this guy pushed on us to be part of Bachelor Nation of like, oh, it's Jeremy. Like, and he's forcing so much that he's like looking out for Katie and best friends with Katie. They did a lot of things on the show yesterday that I wasn't happy about, but this one thing. So they made, he goes, today you're going to have your wedding. So she had a fake wedding where she dressed up in a wedding dress. He wore a suit and they had a whole thing and they had to give each other their vows. They both start crying during it. This is like a second date, Noah. And I swear to God, I think this guy might win because she was forced to be in that situation with him through the show. And you saw it like click. You know that one exercise where people fall in love if they like stare into each other's eyes for like 3 minutes or something like that?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A way to test.
Yes.
I think that, or the I was watching flirt. It last night. Oh yeah, 5 second flirt. That's what we got from the book Getting to I Do. Girls, if you're out there and so Getting to I Do, which I've had a lot of people talk to me about, almost everyone knows this book now. Like all my fans know this book at this point. Getting to I Do, it's a book about how to honor yourself and make it so that the guy that you've been pursuing, either you get complete reassurance that he's not the one by changing the way you behave, or you completely change the way that you behave in a way that values, teaches you how to value yourself in a way that you weren't before. It's also the same premise in women, why men love, prefer bitches. I always thought it was men love bitches, but prefer. Guys were like, wait a second, love, I'm not ready for that title of the book. And she's like, okay, I'll back off, prefer. I love when a guy says he prefers me. That's the three words that I've always wanted to hear from a man. I prefer you. Do you know that my first like real boyfriend, Chris, couldn't say I love you? So he said, I'm enthusiastic about being with you. He was like, I can't say I love you, but that's what I can say. That felt, well, you know how that felt, but over it, totally over it. But what I was saying was, fuck, I was saying about the dumb looking into each other's eyes. Oh yeah. Getting to I Do, the 5 second flirt. That is a way. Because in this book, you determine whether you're a female or a feminine energy or masculine energy. I am still on the fence about which one I am, Noah. I think that's my problem with the book. People go, the book worked for me. Nikki, thank you so much. Oh my God, that book has changed my life. And I'm like, good, because it hasn't changed my life yet, even though I know it could, because I can't pick a goddamn lane. I don't know whether I want my feelings nurtured or my thoughts respected. I want both. And you know what she says if you want both? You're a goddamn narcissist and no, you don't deserve anyone. And I think she might have a point with me. Like maybe I don't deserve anyone because I want both. Because I can't pick which one I want. I want my man to do both. It's confusing. But anyway, most women are feminine energy. Let me reiterate, there are some masculine energy women. It does not mean that you are a lesbian or more masculine, like with your appearance or anything like that. It just means that you like to lead and take initiative in a relationship and you need to find a feminine energy man, which are just as rare as a masculine energy woman. It's like not rare, but way less than, you know, let's, I'm talking like 10 to 20% of women and men are probably the opposite of what their gender is, but it's not even about, it's like yin and yang. So anyway, if you're a feminine energy woman in the book, which most likely if you're listening right now, you're a feminine energy woman. You want your feelings cherished and you need to respect the thoughts of your man and understand that he is, your thoughts aren't going to come first in the relationship. You have to like defer to him, but there's tricky ways of like deferring to him without steering it. It's like, think of every conversation like a car. The man always has to drive and you can be in the passenger seat being like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be, do you mind if you would turn right up here? That's how you approach it rather than go right up here. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to suggest things. So for instance, if you want to confront your guy about not folding the boxes for the recycling in a proper way, like I wonder if this could work with me and Andrew just in our friendship as roommates. If I were to be like, because I don't even know, I don't know what, this could be interesting to run it like that. This is what you would say. You would go, honey, would it be okay if we talked about something later tonight when you were free? You ask, I know this is crazy, girls. You ask permission to confront him about the thing you're going to confront so that he, so now it is up to him that you're having this talk, right? So that's a tricky way of making, giving him power when really you're confronting him about something. But it's also honoring like his time and not just like being a nag or just coming on when he's not ready for it. Say, I have something important to talk to you about. Let me know when you're free to talk about it in a very casual way, not like we need to talk. And then when he says, oh, I could do it now, say, are you sure? You don't even need to say, are you sure? Trust him. Okay. Okay. Look, no, I'm going to practice this because you're better at than me. Okay. So honey, I've just noticed that sometimes when I go into the recycling room, you haven't folded up the boxes and I just want to respect the people that have to clean up in there. And there's a sign that says fold the boxes and the boxes have my name on them. And I just don't want anyone to think that I'm not folding my boxes. And it would just feel so good to me if you, made sure that I was safe from ridicule in my own building by folding the boxes with my name on them and putting them appropriately in the place where they're supposed to be.
I had no idea that it was making you feel that way. I was just taking the boxes to the garbage room and just left them there. But now that you explained it, I understand why it makes you feel that way because your name is on them.
Thank you, babe. I really, it feels so good to me when you, honor my feelings
when you hear me out.
So all you do is talk from a place of feel. But okay, the 5 second flirt, ladies, this is based on the same premise of like, you do not say when you're, if you're trying to be the feminine energy, this is really funny too.
And this is in phase one, when
phase
before
one
you're in the relationship.
Yes, but then I want to extend it to never be the first to reach out at all unless it's like checking with them if it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like don't, and never say, I think. Just always, you can switch every I think to I feel and a man can process it so much better. A masculine energy man. It's wild. So when you're flirting and you want a guy, you're interested in a guy, you see him across the room, a masculine energy woman will approach the guy, will wave at him, will be like, hi, you know, which is what I've done, or wave him over like I've done. I've had a guy like who we both knew that we were there and we liked each other. We both knew we were probably going to hook up at the end of the night. He was like talking to people. He was like gallivanting around the party, avoiding talking to me, even though I could see him looking at me the whole time. And at one point I was just so frustrated. I remember, and it was the night of like one of the roasts and I had just killed. I'd been like the belle of the ball. And then I'm at the after party and no one's talking to me. And I remember this and I'm waiting for this guy to come talk to me who we've established, like, I'm so glad you're going to be there. I'm glad you're going to be there too. We're staying at the same hotel. And I remember this woman sitting next to me. She was probably like the wife of some guy in the crew because she was just kind of, I'm just hanging out, having cocktails. And she goes, I'm so frustrated. And she goes, if you can't get laid at this party, no one can. And I go, you're right, Missy. I go, she goes like, you just were the star of that show. And now you're sitting here alone with me on this couch in the middle of this party. I was like, I know, it's bullshit. And so that's when I was like, I'm done. And I flagged the guy over like I was landing a plane. I go, you pointed and I go over because I was just like, stop this. I might be masculine energy, but what you're supposed to do. So girls, if you're somewhere and you see a cute guy, this is harder, honestly, than just walking up to his table and being like, you're cute. I want to fuck you. You have to do a 5-second flirt, which is you make eye contact with them for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds and then look away. You do not say anything. You just look very demurely like, oh no, and stare and then look down. And that is indicative and smile, a slight smile. I recently also read a trick if you're a runway model. That really, there was some girl on De Moi, the gossip blog, asking about, she was walking her first fashion show and she was like, what tips does anyone have for me that's walked on in like fashion weeks or whatever? And all these models gave tips. And one of them was like, when you walk, smile, everyone do this now. It's so fun. Smile so that you feel the slight corner, only you can feel the corners of your mouth come up. Yes, Noah, it's so good. It's so much better than you trying to like smirk. You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to smirk and not really smile, it's one thing. But if you do it so that it's almost imperceptible that the corners of your mouth come up, like only you could tell it, you look so much like a Hadid. It like is the Hadid secret and tons of filler and work. I don't believe them when they say they have had it done. Their faces are totally different. But Kylie Jenner's lips just, you know, they just got like that because of puberty. 5-second flirt. And when you go on a date with someone and you're meeting up with a guy who's a masculine energy, this is another thing from the book. And I know this is wild and a lot of guys will be rolling their eyes like, I don't like this. Then you're probably a feminine energy man. You can't be the first girl to talk. You can't be the first one to talk. No, I remember when I met up with that guy and I was trying to change my energy. We met up and you guys, this guy was playing chicken with me because I think he probably heard me talking about the book, read the book, knew that I was going to do this thing where I don't talk first. Like he has to be the first to talk. I am so bad at letting awkward. I've talked about this before. I don't like any awkward silence. I talk the whole time I'm on stage. I don't want anyone to, I want to run it. I want to start the convo. So I met up with this guy. I see him. We're meeting on the street. I see him from like an avenue away and we walk closer. I start like a halfway down the avenue. I usually am like, what up? And I start like dancing or like run and be like, yo, yo, yo. Like I'm always like greeting people way too soon. I had to hold it. We got inside the restaurant before, like neither of us, we hugged. He wasn't talking. I wasn't talking. I was like, who's going to crack? And I had to crack eventually because I couldn't handle it anymore. It went on so long. I'm masculine energy. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew!
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good. It was so cute this weekend. One of our besties was taking a photo with me at the meet and greet after the show. And she goes, can we get Andrew in the picture? And can you call him over like you do on the show? And so I go, Andrew! And then you came over and took a pic with all of us. It was so fun. Shout out to bestie Holly. She was there, and I didn't give her a shout out yesterday, I don't think. So what up, girl? How are you this morning? How'd you sleep?
I slept at Brenna's, and I didn't sleep.
Oh, had to come back early this morning?
Yeah, real early. Actually, I luckily was here on time. For some reason, I was thinking 10 a.m. just because I have no idea. I have no idea. Anyways.
Yeah, sometimes you just get the wrong time. I'm sorry about that.
No.
Glad you're here.
I'm a moron. I woke up at 4 a.m., you know, sometimes how I wake up in the middle of the night. And sometimes when you're alone.
I must be lonely.
It must be 4 a.m. somewhere.
Okay, you woke up at 4 a.m.
And you know, when you're alone and you wake up in the middle of the night, it could be depressing, that hour alone. But Brenna was also awake. She couldn't sleep. And she just looked at me. Mm. She goes, I'm hungry. And I was like, obviously, your boy's always hungry. And so I go, well, there's a chicken salad sandwich in the fridge. She goes, I'm not eating chicken salad at 4 a.m. That's not a 4 a.m. meal. And I was like, come on, we could do it. And I talked her into it.
Have some chicken salad. It's 4 a.m.
It's 4 a.m. Okay, yes, chicken
salad. I mean, what's a 4 a.m. food? Like, of course, if chicken salad, there's no 4 a.m. food. Brenna, come on.
Come on, Bren. Come on. What are you doing over there?
So you had a chicken salad sandwich.
Yeah.
And you ate that at 4 a.m. And that's maybe why you didn't sleep well the rest of the night?
No, no. And then I slept great afterwards. It was just nice to
Why are you getting depressed in the middle of the night at 4 a.m.?
I don't. My brain is a thing. Maybe the Zoloft wears out. Maybe that's the 1 hour that it's not there. I don't know. I know. No,
and you wake up with anxiety. Like, what are you thinking about at 4 a.m. if you don't mind me asking that? Because I've woken up in the middle of the night before and I just go, maybe I'm a little agitated because I'm like, oh, I have to be up so soon and I don't want to get up yet.
Yeah,
and
that it's kind something of thing. Like
but
that.
It's not like I'm not like sad or I'm not like lonely or like, oh, life is worse right now than it ever is. Honestly, I feel better in the middle of the night because I'm like, everyone's asleep. No one's sending me emails. No one's expecting anything from me. It actually feels like the best time to be awake sometimes. So I'm just wondering what the feeling is that you have.
Well, I think in the past.
Oh, I shouldn't be asking you your feelings. I mean, Tell me what you think in the middle of the night. I feel like I want to hear what you think in the middle of the night. I'm trying to do the book on you.
Okay. Well, my feelings are... No.
What do you think about in the... Never mind. Just tell me what... I'll be masculine energy to you. Hey, babe.
Yes.
What do you feel in the middle of the night? I think that you should tell me what you feel.
I don't know if you could handle it. Wait, what?
I think I probably can.
Okay, but cool.
Andrew, how do you feel? What's
you
the
know
feeling,
what it is?
Though?
I think I might have a PTSD from I used to have, whenever I would have panic attacks, it would be in the middle of the night. It'd be at like 2 a.m. And I think maybe when my brain wakes up, I think, oh shit, here comes maybe some kind of panic attack, where I would be in my hallways stretching, doing calisthenics to try to get the panic away. And
like in your hallway where?
In my apartment in New York. I used to I couldn't control myself. And I thought I literally was going to blow up. Like my brain was going to blow up. Essentially probably have a stroke or something or a seizure.
Like you thought you're because all the, there was so much pressure in your head.
Yeah, and I would try.
Why wouldn't you take an Excedrin or something? Like my thought would be, and I'm speaking as someone who's never had a panic attack, so I don't get it. And I know people toss that word around a lot, or those words being I almost had a panic attack. It's like, no, you were just a little upset.
Yeah,
because you were late for your flight. But it's a panic attack. You honestly feel like you're about to,
your brain's
going to rupture and your brain's going to explode.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, sometimes it'll be caused by heartburn, which I would then lead to a heart attack. And then you go, well, why don't you just take Zantac? It's like, because my brain isn't there to go, oh, I'll just take this pill and be fine. And once I calm down a little and I take the pill, I go, you know, but there's a moment for 30 minutes. And I know people probably go
through.
You
did not learn to take care of yourself as a child, and
probably
you're not through any fault. They are good parents. You have lovely parents who I love so much, but they did not teach you how to take care of yourself. And when you have this, let's do this. Like, have tools for when things, you know, the basic tools, because you get older and you learn, oh, when I'm doing this, maybe I should sit down and journal. Maybe I should call a friend, blah, blah, blah. But even tools like take an Excedrin, or you know, you'll sometimes come to me and be like, NyQuil helps you sleep. I'm like, you do, man. Or you'll be like, you know what really helped was sitting down and breathing in and out deeply. Or so, you know, there's this new app actually that I think you would love, Andrew.
Is it called Chicken Salad?
Honestly, it just popped up on my phone. It's called Chicken Salad at 4 a.m. And what it does is it finds the nearest place open that will deliver a chicken salad sandwich. And then it says, you idiot. It's 4 a.m. Go to sleep. No one wants to eat chicken salad at 4 a.m.
I'll tell you what, though.
It just tells you
one of the cutest things you can do with a partner is eat in the dark with each other in bed. It really. I don't know.
I will never do that because part of my eating disorder recovery is that I don't eat in bed ever again. And it was really hard for me to pick that, because when you recover from an eating disorder, you have to focus on, because it's not cut and dry, I'll stop drinking, I'll stop smoking weed. It's what food behaviors lead you to feel terrible about yourself, and even if they're innocent at first, and what foods maybe trigger binges, what so for me, I don't starve myself anymore to look thin. Sometimes I don't eat, or I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
And I have to go, am I not hungry because I'm not hungry, or am I not hungry because I'm trying to control something and trying to look thinner or feel thinner? And honestly, I don't even have to ask myself that anymore, because I don't do that ever. I gained probably 5 to 7 pounds the other day, which on my frame shows up and makes all my clothes tight, because all my clothes are tight anyway. And it is uncomfortable, but it was nice, because the other day I was just like, and if you relate to this, even if you're like, fuck you, bitch, 7 pounds, I have to lose 60 or whatever. I get that too. I don't get it, but I get it in a way. And I'm not trying to act like woe is me because of 7 pounds. But I just want to say that for skinny bitches out there and fat bitches, you know that even a little increment amount of weight, it doesn't matter. It just can throw you into a tailspin, even a pound sometimes. And for me, usually it would make me starve the next day, because I looked pregnant. It was really fun. I was just bloated and just felt juicy and voluptuous, which is not how I usually feel bony and like just lanky. And I just, this is what I did. And I want to just pass this on to any people out there who might be having like a fat day. And maybe you're like, I'm fat every day. Shut up, Nikki. What helped me was just, but I think this can help you as well. And first of all, you look great, fat person. And by the way, I've been sitting next to so many fat people on flights. I honestly think that every time, because I've said before, please, if you're fat, sit next to me on a flight because I will never make you feel bad. I'll never make a fat person feel bad on purpose, ever, ever. And that's, I know that sounds like, oh, what a, thank you for doing us this a favor. But people are so rude to fat people. If you haven't heard me like go on a tirade against it, read Lindy West's book, Shrill, or read Roxane Gay's book, Hunger, and you'll understand the fat experience. But what I was going to say is that I just said, I looked in the mirror and I saw a body that I didn't really recognize. And I was just like, yes. Like I did. I wasn't like, oh, I love myself, because I wasn't feeling that way. Like I didn't like what I saw, let me be honest. But I was just like, this is today. It's not forever. It doesn't mean that this is just a slippery slope into, like, you know, for people who are anorexic, you think you're gaining 1 pound and you just think it's like, then throw in the towel. I'm obese tomorrow. Not that being obese is a bad thing, but you just are that you fear that, like, I'm just going to lose control. And so then, but for some reason I was just like, I'm like on my period. I'm like right before my period, my body kind of expands. I've been eating more because I've been dealing with stress and food helps me cope. So sometimes I eat a little bit more. My body also probably needs more food because I'm about to shed a ton of blood and vaginal lining. So it's preparing for that. It thinks I'm ready to have a baby because I'm about to ovulate. So my body's holding on. Like I just talked myself through it and was like, this makes sense. Even if it was because I binged or was such a lazy ass, I didn't work out for whatever. I don't work out anymore. But let's say your scenario is like, no, Nikki, I'm fat because I fucking binged on all these cookies because I'm a fat piece of shit and I'm lazy and I don't work out. My friend asked me to go on a hike, but I said no because I wanted to sit on the couch and watch reruns of The Office and stuff my face. And I was disgusting. Bitch, you needed that. You needed to do that. You were feeling things. That hike would have put you in a worse mood because you would have gone against yourself because you didn't want to go on a hike. You would have gone on that hike. Yeah, maybe you would have been snapped out of it and found some way. But maybe that hike would have made you feel even worse. Or maybe that class, that Peloton class, would have made you feel like you should eat 2 things of cookies. So just let yourself off the hook for feeling, for whatever your body's doing today, because what led to that was your coping mechanisms for how rough life is. And some people abuse Peloton classes to cope with how rough their life is. Some people eat tons of cookies to cope with it. And so whatever you do, let yourself off the hook. I smoked weed yesterday. Didn't want to. Remember yesterday I said, maybe I'm going to quit smoking weed now. Guess what? I was having a day where I go, I need a little weed. I want to get out of my head. I'm feeling anxiety. I have to shoot a show tomorrow that I've never watched. There's been 14 seasons of it. I'm going on to the show that's very beloved. I need to give these people, you know, I'm going on as a celebrity guest judge. I was feeling so much anxiety yesterday and I was like, I need to smoke a little weed. So I did. And then I was like, that's that, instead of being like, you idiot, I was just like, good job, girl. You took care of that feeling. And maybe it wasn't the best way to take care of it, but you needed it. And you know what it led me to do? Not smoke more weed. Because if I would have compounded it and been like, you idiot, why'd you smoke weed? I would have smoked more to deal with that stress. So let's all be nice to ourselves. Andrew, final thing that I want to say to you on before we get to the news or ask you is, how are you feeling with the impending departure of your lady? I think a lot of the stress you or she might be going through that's waking you up at 4 a.m., might be related to a big move that she has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like she might be having, and the fact that she's leaving. And that sometimes happens. Like when I was recently in a romance where we had to part ways, I could tell that the last couple days of it, I was a total bitch and he was a total jackass. And it was all because we like cared about each other so much and were so sad to go and weren't ready to like actually address those feelings. Do you feel like that might be it?
She's one of those people that doesn't procrastinate. She's like getting ready for the move a month early. And I wish she just like did everything the day before instead of like
because it's a constant reminder.
Constant reminder that she's leaving, so that's sad. And also,
but
her,
are you talking about
keeps,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're good. We're good. And she keeps selling things in the house. So like the couch is gone. Her everything is just like slowly, like she's disappearing through her tangible things in her house. And it's just funny now that the only thing left is the bed and the chicken salad sandwich that we ate. And
that's so sweet.
And but it's just like it's a slow move, which is hard. Like I'm so used to living like a gypsy and being like, okay, I'm gone.
Yes.
Like, I'm not thinking about it.
We pack an hour before we leave for the road. Like, there's no planning because if you plan, then you have to focus on the thing that you're dreading. Let's just wait till the last second before we plan our set.
So, that's hard. But, you know, I care about her. And, like,
have you talked about you guys in the future? Is that conversation happening at all?
Not.
Because I'm guessing it's not. And that's why you're waking up at 4 a.m.
No, I don't.
I'm guessing you haven't talked about it.
I think you're being like a live medium here, but I don't think that that's the I really don't.
I'm small, but okay.
Oh, I'm saying during your period, just as that one day.
Wait a second. I know you're avoiding it, I think I'm right.
I think
I'm right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's a right and wrong.
I think if you've talked about it, you would have just said, "Yeah, we've talked about it, Nikki."
No, but instead I'm not deflecting it. You didn't let me get it out. We haven't talked
about
it.
That's a good point. You're right. I didn't let you talk.
I don't think that we've had kind of conversations about it, but both of us have come to the conclusion that there's no reason to worry about what the future will bring. Let's live present. Let's be happy now. The days are now, and in the future we'll figure it out.
That's great.
And I don't know. I just don't think dreading on, okay, but when you're there and I'm traveling and I don't see you for 2.5 weeks, what are we going to do? It's like, we'll handle it then. That's how I feel.
Brenna is a different person than I am. She's much cooler and like just, she's ages. She's so much, she's the best. I you know how much of a fan I am of Brenna's. Always have been, but in the past couple weeks, like, it's elevated to, like, I want to be her best friend, and I want her in my life forever, and I want you guys to be together forever. because I just feel so comfortable with her, and I just feel like I have my own relationship with her that's not even has to, like, can be separate from you, which is just so special to me. And I feel like, so I'm not talking about your experience. I'm saying from me, and I'm not talking about what Brenna might be feeling either, because I think we're so different. But for me, I would feel the same way of like, let's just live in the now. But also, then why is she selling things and getting like planning a move? Why, if she likes to just live in the present, you know? Like, for me, I would go, I would want.
What would the conversation
give me peace of mind
be?
To go, here's the next time we'll see each other. Okay, this is you know what would feel good, Noah, and I think you'll agree with me, is that if based on when I move to wherever, if I wanted to continue seeing this person, which I think you guys like are still going to stay in touch. This isn't like goodbye for, you're not breaking up.
No,
it seems like even though you haven't talked about it, then I would just want a date on the books when I'm going to see you next. That isn't you taking me to Chicago to move. I would just like, let's look at our calendar, just because then it's like, we'll be fine.
I get
like, we're going to see each other again. And so maybe that
makes sense. That makes sense.
And it might help you wake up at 5 a.m.
Well, here's the thing. And eat tuna salad. But here's the thing. I care.
What's the thing?
I think I showed how much I care about her by going. She didn't ask me to help her move to Chicago. She didn't ask me to drive with her.
Yeah, she's really good about that. She doesn't ever like.
It's probably in the book.
She never seems like she needs
or whatever.
Things.
Yeah. But
I know she gave. I was surprised she gave me that book in front of you. Did that make you feel any certain way?
Well, here's the thing, though. I brought up going with her to Chicago. So I think that showed to her that, like, and I have said I want to stay together. Like, I have voiced that.
Yeah, it's like when the guy, after I blew him, walked me to the elevator holding my hand and then bowled me into it and just, like, let me in. Like, oh, I was like, he's going to take me there. And then he just bowled me into the elevator and waved goodbye. So it's not just because you're moving her there doesn't necessarily. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Look, am I going to get all the way to Chicago? Probably not. I'll probably turn around in Champagne after she blows me on the side of the road. if that's what you're thinking. And yes,
no,
the bitch
I just
book,
feel like you guys oh, always sorry. Feel. I always hear good things from you when you've had the talk. When you've had a talk that you both have been avoiding having, things seem to be very good if you force yourself to have that. And I've heard this before from you of, we don't need to. Things are fine the way they are. We don't need to have a talk. Yet the one time that you guys did have a talk and establish your relationship, the next day you were so much more into her and not into her, but like you just, it changed something in you the next day. I just saw you like loving and appreciating her on a level that you weren't comfortable admitting to yourself before. And it was because you had a hard conversation that you were saying, I don't need to have it. We're just flying by the seat of our pants. There's security in having the hard conversations, but not necessarily this one. And it's obviously your own relationship and I'm projecting all over you. Let's get to the news.
The news up early. Here we come.
Up early.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Ah, man. Tuesday, I know it's a tough day. Tough day Tuesday, TTs. But you're having a good time out there and you're having all the swells for sure. All right, first headline. This is interesting because I don't think you've done this yet. But I could see you doing this in the future, Nikki. Do crystals work for anxiety and depression? Modern science says no. It's a placebo effect. Past science says yes. How do you... Okay, so...
Past science.
Yeah, I don't really understand that, but...
Like Bunsen burners and like those microscopes
like
you use.
Like 1,000 years of history before modern medicine.
And what does that mean? Like what studies were the Mayans doing with crystals that they've documented? Like, Noah, you seem like a crystal person.
Thank you.
I feel like you're getting a little... I didn't mean it as a compliment.
You can't argue with a thank you.
Mean it as a compliment. No, I mean, like... You seem like someone, well, first of all, I believe in fucking God. So crystals, God, it's all the same shit. You know, like that's, it's spiritual. I read somewhere that someone goes, why do the crystals that like change your life and center you and help your blood flow and all these things, why are they always so beautiful? Why can't it just be a fucking rock that you shove up your puss and it gives you, it harnesses energy? You know, like, why is it always a beautiful shaped,
you know what it reminds me of?
Smooth egg, you know? Like, why can't it be like an old piece of gravel from your, you know, uncle's driveway?
Remember Indiana Jones when, you know, he chooses the cup of life?
No.
The cup of life is like, there's all these shiny, beautiful cups. And the cup that actually gives you internal life is a piece of shit cup. And it reminds me.
It's a bowl from your apartment that you gave to a girl after you slept with her.
Hey, look, that's the past.
If you haven't been listening to the show, if you're new to the show, if you've been following us since the U Up days, Andrew once didn't have glasses in his New York apartment. And he offered a girl a bowl of water. It was hilarious. You got to go watch the YouTube clip of Judy Gold on You Up on and how disgusted she was by the bowl situation.
But you bring up a good point about the past stuff. It's like I'll always read things and it's not just the crystals, but they'll be like 1,000 years ago, they used this. It's like they didn't have modern science. They didn't have. They also cut people in half to have them bleed out the
right.
disease.
They would. Like, they would bleed out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, but this is what they did back then. It's like, yeah, they didn't have this. Like, why
are
we?
That's where modern science comes from.
I believe so much in. First of all, the placebo effect works better than medicine a lot of times. Like just your mind. And I've said on the show before that I cured or I like made a cold sore go away on my lip from meditating and from harnessing energy and just thinking in the same way with crystals. Like
and
you get
putting
a crystal,
a rock in your pussy.
There's this,
that's
yeah, there was a jade egg that my friend Kirsten was trying to get me to buy to put up my pussy that she hadn't bought, but her friend did. And it's like supposed to, because I was suffering with my libido last year, but it turns out it was just like my hormones. It wasn't because I didn't have a rock up my snatch. And it's all like, okay, if I have this rock in my vagina, I'm aware that there's a rock. I may be thinking like things are happening. It's placebo effect. And placebo effect is so powerful. Science doesn't even understand it. So I did want to explain, though, real quick. I'll do a motor mouth for a second. So slow this down if you want to understand it. I got a question about how I cured my own cold sore with my mind. So I was doing this show called Roast Battle for Comedy Central. I was getting picked up to go film an episode, and I had 3 days of filming like six episodes in 3 days. I was starting a cold sore on my lip. There was a tingling. There was a bump. I couldn't believe it because I had only gotten a cold sore once, and it was like 10 years prior, and it was terrible. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling a cold sore. I start Googling it, and all the symptoms of this cold sore are showing up. And now it is at the point where the cold sore is at a point where everything I'm reading says, there's no turning back. This is going to happen. Just accept it. It's going to blister. It's going to do this. Here are the preventative measures. You can go to CVS and get a patch for it, and then you can put makeup over it. I'm about to shoot a show and have this giant thing on my lip that is going to blister within a couple days. And everything I read was, there's no turning back. There's nothing you can do. You can just treat the blister and make it, don't pick at it. Da, da, da. And I'm like, fuck, you know what? I'm throwing in the towel. So I have an hour before I get picked up for my for this shoot, the car is showing up at my place. I can either go to CVS and get one of the patches. I can go get a Breva, all these things. I'm past that point based on all the things I'm reading where this thing is, I can't stop it in its tracks. It's done. It's happening. Instead, I go, you know what? I'm going to meditate because maybe just I know that these come on from nerves and from anxiety. That's what triggers herpes and different things like that. I don't have herpes vaginally, but like cold sores are a form of herpes. And so I was like, okay, stress. So I'll meditate. I meditated for 20 minutes. And all I said during my meditation was, you're done. I focused so much on the cold sore, the tingling, felt it all, just really focused on it the whole time, like the way you focus on your breath for meditations. And I said to it, you're done. You came here to warn me that I was nervous. You served a purpose. I hear you. Thank you so much. But you don't need to keep going. I'm done with you. You're going to go away now. But thank you. I thanked it. I was gentle to it. And I said, no more. And I swear to God, it went away within hours. Within hours, a herpy thing on my lip that was destined by every account that I read online to turn into a blister went away. So that's what I'm talking about. It's like the power of the mind. I really did do that. I don't think it can do, like, I'm not saying that you can cure cancer by meditating or anything, but I turned a cold sore back around in its tracks. I don't know how I did it, but all I did was think gentle thoughts. So I believe that crystals, whatever gets you to think positively about your body and think that something might be helping it spiritually, is a beautiful thing, and let's do it. So, and crystals are beautiful. Next story.
But.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. okay. So,
shove it up your ass. I should shove a crystal up my ass.
I'm going to start getting the ugliest rocks on earth. And just seeing what it will happen, and I'll check in.
I'll get you a crystal, Andrew. I'm gonna get you a crystal. I think it might help you.
You know what it is about the crystal though. The crystals are very very smooth, and if you put them in your hand, they act as like a fidget spinner. And if you play with it, it does do something there as well.
Calming.
What yeah, Noah?
I was
love
laughing.
How you call it a fidget spinner, where that's like modern, and the rock, the crystal is like.
Yeah. The fidget spinner is the modern crystal.
Yeah, geologists no longer go by geologists. They go by earth-made fidget spinnerist.
All right, you're going to love this next story, Nick. I'll tell you what, HBO Max. Really? Drops the trailer.
We were all over the news yesterday.
The news.
Can I play it? Can we play a clip from the trailer?
Yes.
Can we just play the very end, Noah? Yeah. F-Boy Island coming out July 29th, y'all. The trailer came out yesterday. It's on my Instagram.
I'll tell you.
Came out during the show yesterday.
In New York Post, you were like the second line, like host, Nikki Glaser. And then the last line is producer, Nikki Glaser. Motherfucker.
Yes.
Host and executive producer.
I didn't see any of these.
I love it.
I was getting Google alerts for my name all day yesterday, and it was all F-boy stuff. People are fucking stoked. You know, as someone who watched the show get made and knows what happens and everything, I can't look at it objectively. I know I'm excited about the show, but just the response yesterday and how so many of my, like when I posted it, all the comments of that people are excited about it on my Instagram from like my friends who I know like good reality. It was just so nice to see like, everyone who has good taste in reality is like stoked for the show, and you should be. It's gonna be so good. Okay, listen to this clip. I was listening to my ex-boyfriend's radio show today, and they were doing like their Hollywood Minute, and even they talked about it, and they played this clip, and I was so excited to see them play it. So you could start at about like 2 minutes, I would say like 2:15.
I read some comments, and obviously, you know, it's already polarizing, which is great. for reality TV. You want people to be like, I don't understand that. And then you want people to be like,
here's the clip.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Are you okay?
I hate this man.
This is the type of treatment you get.
You're an F boy.
This is a game, but we are not a game.
Cheers to that.
Oh, shit. And then there's a little...
Feel free to take your shirts off at any time, you guys. I just want you to be comfortable and for me to be comfortable.
That was your...
I love that they put that at
the end. That was your Oscar...
That scene where that little clip is from?
Yeah, you
at the end.
That was your... I mean, you were incredible that day. And I mean, it was
Thanks, Andrew.
Unbelievable to watch. And you brought humor and reality, and you listened to these guys, and you made it human. You made it human. And it was really
that was a very special day for me because, yeah, after I got done with that, I felt really so when I was shooting the scene that you see where I say the if you take your shirts off, it'll be more comfortable for me and you. That was a scene that was kind of, we just like we're kind of making on the fly, like, is this even gonna work? And it turned into something so special that was both real and funny. And my ex-boyfriend, you know, we still like flirt and send each other like funny stuff, and he always says like the best combo of you is when you're like hot and funny, which usually don't work, but he's always like, my favorite combo is hot and funny. Like this morning I was walking to get Starbucks, and there's a street called Dick's near me. And I was on my way. I saw the street. It's like Dick's Street, Dick's. And so I just took a picture of the sign. I'll show you the picture I sent to him of me with my mouth like open. Like I'm like the dicks are like just coming into my mouth. Do you see the sign Dick's?
Yeah.
And so he was like that. He goes, perfect combo. Cause I know he always loves when it's funny and hot. But, that to me was both that scene that we shot was so special. And it was so nice because I actually got a text from two HBO execs who were watching the show. And this was a month ago and I hadn't seen anything of the show. And they wrote to me and I just got from two random numbers, HBO execs, which like they weren't even in touch with me during the show. I was like heard from them through other people. We had like one Zoom meeting and that was it. But, they texted me to say, holy shit, these scenes are so funny. We can't get over it. And I go, guys, I'm so happy that you understand how like special that was, because that was that day. Everyone felt like, whoa, this is a separate show in and of itself. Those scenes I shot. And Andrew, your comments to me after that made me feel so good, because you see everything I do. And like after a while, you're just like, okay, like, you're sitting on this, you watched all my sets. You just like to have someone who's seen you do so much stuff go, whoa, that was special. You should win. Like, I want to be up for like a hosting Emmy for this. The Emmys are being announced today, but I hope next year, a year from today, I get a host Emmy nomination. Because, and you know what? I hope I get one for the second season of F Boy Island, because I hope we get one, because I really want to take that up a notch. But I really just appreciated your enthusiasm for my performance that day. It like meant so much to me when you go, whoa, wait a second, dude, like, because you always say good job, great set, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But you were just like, that was something special, and I felt it too. And it was just like so nice to have that validated from you. And again, I was so happy to have you on that show, and it's gonna be so fun to watch it with you and to see the lines that you gave me come to life. And like that you contributed so much, and it was like so worth it to me. Cause I told my mom the other day how much I had to pay out of pocket for you to be on the show with me. And she was like, oh my God. And I go, it was so worth it, because not only emotional support, and you stepped it up. People who have been listening to the show, you heard this happen where I was like, cause we started this show when I was down there shooting F Boy, and I couldn't say it at the time, but if you go back and listen to old episodes, Andrew and I kind of like went through a time where I was like, I need you to be like helping. I need more acts of service from you around set. Like when you go get a coffee, get me one, like things like that. So you stepped it up in those ways, but creatively you were like, so important to have. And I gave you credit yesterday for the Del Taco line you gave me, and how like you always sacrifice lines that you come up with for the greater good, being me sometimes is the greater good. But so thank you. And thank you to everyone who's spreading the word about F Boy on your socials. Get on board. Like let's all gear up for it. And, I'm going to be doing a podcast. I think like I'm going to be appearing on a podcast about it that you can subscribe to at some point when I find out the details of that. And what else did I want to say about it? Yeah, I'm just excited that everyone's excited about the show. And I kind of forgot it was coming out. It was a nice little treat to get that. And there was one other. Oh, I went and did some more voiceover for it yesterday because there were some things that like we just needed. Like, you know, there's a thing called ADR where you go back. Sometimes on shows, you'll be watching reality shows and you'll see like a couple lines where you're like, okay, you never see their mouth moving and that kind of doesn't sound like their voice.
Yeah.
That's when they're just filling in. So yesterday I went in, only two lines of the whole thing are not going to be what was really said. And it was only because I didn't say it in the right way. And it was so fun to go in because I went in and I was, they just let me be so, I was like, this line's okay, but can I spice it up and make it funnier? And I was able to, they were just so fun. It was so fun to go back in there and mess around with the show. And it's going to be so funny. I just want to assure you, like, if you're a girl out there or a guy out there that you have a partner who doesn't like reality shows, get them into this one. Because I swear to God, everything they hate about reality shows, I'm going to be making fun of with them. So they'll have a voice on the show that's like acknowledging how ridiculous the show is. Whereas that same voice, me, is going to be talking about how amazing the show is. Let's get to Why Do I Care? Thank you so much, Noah, for including F-Boy in the news. That's news. What can I can't help it. It's just news.
It's news, you know?
There's another show yesterday that came out, announced that I am also on, but I can't say that I'm on. So I had a double news day, but one was a thing I can't talk about. Why do I care? Why do I care?
I don't what is this know. Gonna be about? I don't even know why you'll care about this, to be honest, but we'll find out. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Jason Sudeikis breaks his silence on split from ex-fiance Olivia Wilde.
Oh, whoa.
It kind of timed up with the Ted Lasso coming out. I mean, he planned it pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to the Ted Lasso premiere on Thursday.
I know. I kind of wish so I was excited. Going to that. I'm jealous.
I know. I wish you were too. I should have invited you instead of the person I invited.
Oh, is that person going?
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm probably, I might disinvite because I'm just like I'm using this as a this is a great opportunity. I have an invite to the number one show that so many people love, and I want so I don't know. I might take away the invite. I don't know. Change plans.
Oh boy.
Well, Andrew, read what he said.
Yeah, yes. I swear to God. All right.
Thank you.
All right. So Jason Sudeikis said to GQ, the magazine, I'll have a better understanding of why in a year, and an even better one in two, and an even greater one in five. And it'll go from being, you know, a book of my life to becoming a chapter, to becoming a paragraph, to a line, to a word, to a doodle.
Doodle. Doodle. Holy shit. We should start saying doodle instead of doodle. It just like kind of takes the edge off of dude. I love that. Because isn't that true? You know what I was just reading the other day was there's this celeb account I follow where it's just paparazzi shots. And sometimes they just like post like, remember back when there was this celebration, the Instagram post of couples you forgot existed. And there was one of Samantha Ronson. Remember the DJ Samantha Ronson and Lindsay Lohan? Remember Lindsay's lesbian relationship?
Yeah.
But it was everything. That was everywhere. This is like circa 2007, 2008. Everywhere was Lindsay Lohan in a gay relationship. They were together like over a year. I completely forgot. Other things, Paris Hilton sex tape, Kim Kardashian sex tape. These things that seem like they define you as a celebrity or as a person, and maybe there's something in your life that you can kind of say, oh, this injury, this car crash I had, this car crash of a relationship. It's so true. In a year, it's a chapter. In 5 years, it's a line. Like Lindsay Lohan, I didn't even think of Samantha Ronson, even though that was all I thought of her at one point. So it's such a nice reminder, and what a great way to say it. I love that quote. I love it because it's acknowledging that it is a big deal for him right now. It's not taking away from that, and it's also looking forward to a time where it's.
He had so many great lines.
Everyone says when you're going through a breakup, it's going to get easier. It just give it time. And it's so hard to hear that, but it really is true. And I'm getting ready to go to the Ted Lasso premiere. And, you know, my stylists charge $1,500 a look, as they deserve. That's what it costs in Hollywood to look good. And I'm doing a show tomorrow, or today and tomorrow, $1,500 each look, $3,000. I'm getting paid, I think, $7,000 to do this show. So there goes $3,000 of it. $500 for hair and makeup, $500 for both days. So, or $500 each for hair and makeup both days. There goes $2,000. So two plus three. So there goes five. Of the seven, I'm only going to walk away after 30% is taken. And then another. So I'm spending money to do the show. Not a big deal. Love my stylist, Danny and Emma Style. I'm wondering if I have them dress me for the Ted Lasso premiere. I was like, okay, should I get them to style me for that $1,500? It might be worth it. I'm going to get a red carpet look. I'm going to have the Ted Lasso fucking sign behind me, which is a cool thing. Like, I'm going because, not because I'm trying to get photographed, but because it's my favorite show. And Bill Lawrence is my friend. And Jamie Lee, who writes on the show, is my friend. A couple other people I know that are associated with the show. I'm going because as a fan. But I'm like, should I dress up? Should I make it look great? And then I remembered that Jason Sudeikis collected his Golden Globe award for best actor in a comedy series in a tie-dye sweatshirt on his couch for Ted Lasso. The Ted Lasso vibe is not a $1,500 styled look. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, it's like $800.
That's what I love about the show. It's just like, well, do whatever you want.
He actually responded to that.
What's his name is actually dating.
He responded to that. He goes, they go, well, were you depressed? Were you high? You know, that's what everyone put on it.
The shirt. Yeah.
He goes, I didn't want to wear just the fucking top half of a Tom Ford suit. I love Tom Ford suits, but it looks fucking ridiculous. Like, that was his reasoning. He's like, I'm not going to put on a suit. I'm in my house. Like, I mean, granted, he could have put on a little bit nicer of a shirt, but whatever.
I'm going on a show tomorrow where it's the studio is freezing. I want to just tell everyone, big Hollywood secret, Ellen's not that nice. And also, every studio is freezing. Every time you see a TV show where it's like a studio audience, and if you go to a studio audience thing, I'm telling you right now, this is saving so many fucking girls right now. Bring a blanket, bring sweaters, bring a cardigan. It's fucking cold during a studio taping, every single one. And I wish that they warned people before that they show up to, you know, Conan or whatever. It's always cold. So they told me on the sheet, they go, you know, she'll need a look for this. She'll need a really glam look for this. They go, but after she walks, after we get the full body shot, she's going to be seated behind a table and you won't be able to see her lower half. So bring blankets and like warm socks and everything. So when you see the show that eventually I'll tell you about, I will be in like, my bottom half will be cozy, cozy, cozy. And the top half will be like, you know, Tom Ford suit.
I think it'd be funnier if
they
gave
us a warning.
Wear a little hot skirt under the table and then dress like a gypsy up top. You don't even, and then you stand up at the end to reveal that like my bottom half was so hot the whole time.
It was so hot the whole time. But the thing is, my stylist, whenever I'm like, girls, please, we don't need to wear in these shoes. I'm going to be sitting and you can't even see my lower half. They're like, can you just like wear it all? Because it just completes the look. And they're very like, they want the whole look. And I get that. Like, Even if I was like, so let's say I went on a show and I was telling a joke and they were like, we're only going to use the punchline. I'd be like, can I just do the whole joke so the punchline is delivered with the same rhythm that, you know, yesterday I was doing ADR for this scene. They played me first of all, sorry, I'm tangenting here, which I should just, this whole show should be sorry, I'm tangenting. They showed me, I haven't seen any F-boy clips. They've sent me them, but I can't watch them because I don't like watching myself, especially when I can't change anything. And also, it hasn't aired yet, so there's an air of like, you could change it, you know? And I definitely don't. So once it's airing, I'll watch because there's no more looking back. But right now, it feels like I could go, hey, you guys, can you do the...
Yeah.
And I can't really, you know? So I was watching it yesterday. I look fucking gorgeous. Like, I look so good.
Yeah, you're
Thank
radiant.
Thank you so much to Julie. Thank you so much to Robin. Thank you. Thank you so much to Robin for painting my legs every day and making my eyebrows as dark as I wanted them, even though you kind of rolled your eyes a couple times. I looked stunning. I'm so excited about how I look because, you know, but more than anything, yesterday I was trying to match my voice because we're trying to fill in the same, like I'm trying to do a line for that scene. So I watched the scene. And I went into the ADR, like, I was a little husky yesterday. I was kind of like, hi, guys, how's it going? And then I look at the clip, and I'm, like, saying the line. And I was like, it would be so funny, because the whole thing is like, girls, so tonight is a big decision. So you gotta make sure that, like, it would have fit so wrong. So I had to, like, watch the thing. and remember how I was feeling that day, because I remember every single scene I shot and how I was feeling right before, because what I did based on what I was wearing, I can tell what mood I was in. And I was in like the best mood of my life down there. So it was really fun to like try to harness that energy of like, oh, I was like in love and I was with my best friends and I was in paradise and COVID wasn't an issue and like life was, and I just was like, had to, it was funny when you think like that and you go, okay, be that, your voice will sound different. It was really fun to do, but I had to like get into, I went in like bedraggled after a long Uber ride over the hill over to Burbank. And I got to Burbank. I went on a 40-minute Uber ride to do two lines. I was like, guys, I could have done this in my hotel room with my podcast mic, but it ended up being really fun. Anyway, why do I care? Because Jason Sudeikis really boiled down life. Give it time and it will seem so much more inconsequential. I love that advice of like,
you know what the hard thing,
this thing
though,
that you're worried
him?
About today, will you be upset in 1 year? What will this feel the same? Like think, project one think year it, in the future and think how you might feel about it.
I think it depends on, it'll be a longer doodle or stay farther away from the doodle, the longer Harry and her stay together. I think it might be just because it'll just be a constant reminder.
Oh, Harry Styles.
Yeah.
The longer that they stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully they break up soon.
I think they're going to be together a while. Yeah. I just saw pictures of them on a boat. And he's also dating a girl named Keely from, not Keely,
yes,
some girl from Ted Lasso, who's adorable. And he seems like he's in the middle of like falling in love. So I think he's probably pretty good. But it must be real tough to share kids with someone and have to, like, when you break up and you have kids, you got to keep seeing them. And that's why you don't have kids. So let's move on to Reddit Dump. It's Tuesday, so this is where I go through all my saved Reddit posts. You know, I'm a big Redditor. I recommend it to everyone. It's where I get so many, like, random pieces of information. I love Ask Reddit. That's my favorite one. That's where people ask funny questions or weird questions, and you get amazing stories from people who comment. Okay, so this one is Ask Reddit. What is the most unexplainable thing that has ever happened to you? I always love these because they're always like supernatural and like kind of ghost stories. And these are just like normal people who are like, I swear to God, this is like what happened to me. So this was one when I was around 15. This is from Flip Flop Prob. When I was around 15, my parents left me home alone for the weekend. And I was thinking, this is awesome. I can chill, play games all weekend and eat what I want. Went to sleep Friday night and then woke up to my mom, waking me up to what I thought was the next morning. So I asked, what happened? I thought you were going out the whole weekend. To which she replied, what are you talking about? It's 4 p.m. Sunday. I have no idea what happened to those 2 days. I didn't leave the house. There was no food or washing up that had changed since they left. I hadn't looked at my phone. There were unread messages from Saturday morning, but I refused to believe I was asleep the whole time. Whoa. There was another guy. A really strong feeling kept me out of a high-rise building during an earthquake. I was staying late at work with some colleagues. Our office was located on the 40th to 50th floor. I suddenly had a really strong thought that, wow, if an earthquake were to hit now, the dash downstairs would be chaotic. I tried to brush it off but couldn't. The feeling was so strong. And it's not like I'm used to working in high-rise buildings. I've been working at the place for... And it's not like I'm not used to. I've been working there for 2 years at this point. I decided to leave and work from home, which was only 15 minutes away on foot. Just as I arrived home, an earthquake struck. It was pretty intense, and thankfully everyone at the office was all right, just freaked out, but it was so strange that something told me to leave just minutes before it happened. I think that guy's a dog.
Oh,
you know how dogs,
yeah,
like, know,
yeah, they know when
before
thunderstorms are happening.
Yeah, yeah, it turns out that Redditor was a dog.
Yeah, but he does
and then
good
another
work
person said that another unexplained thing is that time I fell into a glass door and the only thing that broke was the keys in my pocket. I don't understand that, but that's, I guess, interesting. If you have an unexplained moment, Andrew, I'd love to hear it. This one's good again. Okay, so I shared this a couple Reddit dumps ago, but this one is from, and I wanted to reiterate it because this one actually worked a little bit better to calm your thoughts almost instantly. I think the last one I told you was to calm your thoughts is to close your eyes and don't move your eyes. Focus on don't moving your eyes or something like that. But
yeah,
this one's even better. This is from Reddit, the subreddit meditation. Pro tip, want to stop overthinking during meditation or during your daily life? Stop moving your eyes. Hey everyone, I just want to share a little tip that's been working for me. I believe I learned this tip from a comment in the subreddit a while ago, which is the one that I read to you guys, but it didn't get much attention, so I wanted to ensure that more people saw it, which is why I'm bringing it up again too, because it really helps. Okay, so everyone try this now. Basically, if you catch yourself in a huge whirlwind of thoughts at 4 a.m., eating a chicken salad sandwich alone or with your girlfriend,
yum, yum,
pay
yum
attention to what your eyes are doing. In most cases, they're darting around instead of staying still. This is so interesting because, side note, EMDR, the eye therapy where you track your eyes. I didn't know how much what you look at and how your eyes move determine what is going on in your brain. And this really proves it. Basically, if you catch yourself in a huge whirlwind of thoughts, okay. Once you notice this, that your eyes are darting around, try holding your gaze in one position. This can be done with eyes open or closed. You should immediately notice a much lower rate of thoughts. You can even try this right now. Find any object or on the wall, then stare at it without moving your eyes. You should notice your thoughts are coming in much less frequently and are more manageable. Let's do it right now, okay? Okay, I'm going to look. Okay, that kind of worked. The reason I decided to share this tip this morning is because I was just discussing REM sleep and dreaming with someone. For those that don't know, your REM cycle is the phase of your sleep where you have rapid eye movement. I may not be the first person to make this correlation, but I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere before. So like when you're dreaming a lot, your eyes are darting around, like you're thinking a lot, you're seeing things. So someone else shared that another trick is to scan the room very slowly. That could be good. That could work for you. There was one I loved. This was the best one. This is insane, but you can try this right now. When you focus on your peripheral vision, the thoughts stop. So look at a point. This one's even better. Look at a point, the same point you were just looking at. Now look at your peripheral vision without looking at it. Just focus on it. Keep your eyes on the point, but just focus on your peripheral vision.
What's that? Like your side vision?
And your mind calms. Yeah, peripheral is like your side, but don't look to the side.
Okay.
Just be aware of it. When you're staring at the point in front of you, stare at it, but then be aware of your peripheral vision, the ring around it, but just aware of it, don't look at it, and your thoughts will calm. I can't do it right now because I'm hosting a show, but it actually does work,
I just wanted
to share that with people.
I'm pretty chill right now. I really am.
Oh, good.
Just talking about it.
I think you should try that, Andrew, as like a quick fix because I instantly thought of
it. It's just hard in a dark room. I'm not being funny. Well, I'm just saying like...
No. Well, you can just stare at... But you can do it with your eyes closed. So it doesn't... This is the same thing. Just stare... Just steady your eyes and then focus on the sides. Like, pay attention to the sides without looking at them.
Did you ever do this
I'll
when
you're...
You oh, okay, never mind. Never mind. But when you when you would look in a closet, like I would try... And you would see like the clothes hanger would like turn into a person. That ever happened
yes.
to you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
So scary.
Well, I... Like someone shared this on the subreddit that they sometimes would like the peripheral vision thing. It happens to me sometimes where I stare and I'm just locked into a stare because I'm so zoned out. And it's that locked peripheral vision. Someone shared that they were a kid and they used to not be able to get out of it and that they would have to literally touch their eyeball to get out of it.
Oh, wow.
And I relate to that. Remember the time that I was and I was staring and the Starbucks guy was like, Nikki, and I like waited.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that time I shared
this? Yeah.
I was locked into one of those visions. That was a lock. That reminded me, I wasn't trying to be cool as much as I just wanted to stay in that like calming, locked in.
It was a good lighting for you though.
Okay. I loved this so much. This is from True Off My Chest. This is where someone just like creates a fake account and says something off their chest. I loved this. This guy should write a book. I would read it. I love my kids, but... Holy fuck, are they a couple cock blockers. I'm not going to put any of this on my youngest because they legit have to have everything done for them. They are small and young. However, my oldest, middle school age, is the worst kind of offender. She's perfectly capable of doing anything around the house she needs. But if me and the wife try to do anything day or night and are gone for more than 5 minutes alone, she's testing the door lock or knocking loudly to ask the most stupid of questions or say something completely benign. Example, I think I hear a bug in my room. Not a spider. Not I see a bug. I think I may hear a bug in my room. It may sound petty, but this shit has been going on for years. And you know what? She's going to get hers. Her first serious relationship, I'm going to bust in whenever just for cookies or to ask a question about plumbing. I won't care. Shit, man, she'll be married. I'll call her ass at 11 on a Friday night to tell her about a fictitious boil on my asshole that I may need to get lanced. I'll go into detail about dog barf that seeped into the rug. I'm going to have my revenge. And I just like loved that. And this dad is like so mad that he can't get any from his wife because his dumb middle school daughter keeps cock-blocking him. And so he's planning the future. And then he did a bunch of edits on his note to explain to people like, listen, I'm not that bad of a dad. Like, she's just annoying. So final thought. I want to share just a couple more.
I think that's so annoying, though, when someone writes something that's obviously satire and fictitious and like overly mean, and people make that person go, I don't really want to boil on my asshole. It's like, fuck you. Like, you don't have to apologize. Like, stop it. Like,
you don't know what it's like to have a boil on your ass. It's not funny. Don't talk about dog barf. My dad slipped on some dog barf in our thing and he died.
Yeah.
And that really hurts me.
Oh, well, then in that case, you know, people, I was being satiric.
Oh my God.
Satirical.
Yeah, I
yeah, anyways. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I understand, like, the thing is, that guy is writing comedically in a place where that should be allowed to happen, but people, when you're on stage as a comedian, that's the weirdest thing, is when you do something that over the top and people take you seriously and you have to go, yeah, do you guys remember these are jokes?
Like, well, not to
you
mention, don't need to go, oh. This guy's anonymous. Like, he doesn't even have to apologize. Like, that's how.
But his apology was really funny too. I won't read it because I want to get to the next true off my chest. This is also from true off my chest. I felt this like was, this isn't funny. This is just like real as shit.
Ooh.
My husband passed away 2 months ago and I feel relieved is the title. I couldn't click on it fast enough. We were married 6 years, together for 8. We have a 5-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. He passed away in a car accident in May. I was devastated when I found out he was dead. I loved him. I still love him, but now I start to feel relief that he isn't in our life anymore. When I met him, he was amazing, but soon after we got married, he changed. I was to blame for everything. His family didn't help, as they hated me and they would feed his insecurities. He was abusive and controlling, but for his family, I deserved it. But for his family, I deserved it. I don't know what she's saying. I stayed because what else could I do? I was afraid and alone. I came to the U.S. for him. I also believe that I deserved it, that I wasn't a good mother and wife, because all that's what everybody told me. Now his parents pretend to be there for my kids, and they don't want us to leave the country. They spend years hating me, told my husband I only married him for coming to the U.S., that I was cheating on him so he would beat me. But now they want me to stay. After his death, the first 2 weeks was horrible. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to do without him. But then the fear that I felt every morning, wondering whatever he would be in a good mood or not that day, disappeared. So this girl's obviously second language is English. Not walking on eggshells anymore. Even my kids seem to be happier without him. That's so wrong to feel that way. I never wanted him to die. I wish he was still alive and that I had the courage to walk away from him instead of feeling relieved from his death. Whoa. I'm so happy he died for this woman.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a doodle.
I'm happy for this woman he died.
You know?
Yeah, he's a... Well... And listen, I shared this because I think so many people out there can relate of knowing that you can't leave because kids, money, you're scared he'll kill you. You're scared she'll kill you, whatever relationship you're in. And it would be very easy if he just died. And this woman did not wish this, but I'm so happy for her. And it just made me feel a lot of things, because I bet that is not, I mean, this is why people kill their significant others.
Yeah, I would check
to get, it's easier than
this guy's breaks. It sounds like she might be in on it, but you know, it's,
yes.
No, it's a very tough thought to think that life that, yeah, I don't know that you're like, even if you're getting abused, if someone dies to be happy, it's just, it's a tough thing to even say. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like,
yeah, but there's times where I've wished men in my friends' lives would die. And I've told my friends that. And I'm like, I hope he dies. You know, like, I don't do that anymore because I don't want to wish death on anyone, even though I feel like sometimes death is like, sometimes, and this is tough to say, but sometimes when people commit suicide or die from a long-term illness, I like am happy for them, if that makes sense, because they're in so much pain and they are. And, you know, we say that a lot, like, oh, they're not in pain anymore. And like, they're in a better place. But I've wished death upon some men in my friends' lives so that it, in secret, like I've said it to them, but I've also said it not to them, of like, I just want this guy to disappear. And the only way my friend's going to get over him is if he's dead. And that's a sad thing. And I'm sorry that I caused this guy to die.
Well, I but think
maybe,
like,
maybe I, d-
I think, well, the common talk is like, what a coward to kill themselves. They didn't think about what they would do to the family and who they left behind. Mm. It's such a coward way out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's bullshit. I think in a weird, twisted way, it takes a lot of courage to end it. Like, I think if I'm not saying that it's a good thing, I'm just saying the dialogue
to
behind
anyone
it,
out there.
Yeah.
Who is suicidal? It's not courageous to kill yourself. No one's going to give you that honor. But Andrew, I do know what you're talking about.
I'm not
when I've been really suicidal.
Yeah.
No, it's like, well, I've always said that if I get a terminal illness, that is going to be something like ALS or like, you know, Lou Gehrig's, which is ALS, or the Huntington's disease, which is another one that just, there's no cure and you literally die because you choke because you can't swallow anymore. Like, your body just shuts down and it's hell. I would go to Portland or Sweden to be euthanized. I would kill myself in that way. And like, it would be, that would be a better choice. But, and I've been in so much pain that suicide seemed like a good idea. So it's, you're not in clear thinking though when you want to do that stuff. That being said, I just want to say, last night I read, before we go, there's a new Anthony Bourdain documentary coming out about his life and final days. And dude, it's like, I read a thing yesterday about it on Reddit. I can't find it right now, but it's like the last days of Anthony Bourdain. And oh my God, I can't wait for this documentary.
What did he eat?
Pretty much. He was not the interesting thing I found was on the pilot episode of his show, because he did those best-selling books. They gave him a show where he travels around. He wasn't a traveler. He didn't like to travel. He didn't like people. He had social anxiety. The first episode, they show footage for the first episode, which the first day of shooting, the whole crew said, what the fuck are we going to do? This guy cannot talk to people. He's awkward. He doesn't know what to say. He's like, they describe this first scene where it's so uncomfortable because he doesn't even know what to say to this Japanese woman. He's sitting on the floor eating ramen and like, it's just like, it's good. And like, it's awkward. They don't even know what to do. And then something happened where he just clicked and he found it. And then they pretty much say, I didn't like this. They pretty much do everything in the documentary to blame Asia Argento, the woman that he was seeing, who was, I didn't know this. I'm so sorry. It's going long. They all say that 5 days after he saw paparazzi footage of his girlfriend,
with a guy
making out with a guy in Paris or something, that he killed himself 5 days later. And by all accounts, he was obsessed with this woman, totally in a love bubble, like love addict. Like before he met her, he was looking for something that was like unhealthy, unsustainable. When he met her, he was like, this is going to end badly. He told everyone. He fired the director on his show, the director on his show got sick for one episode. He put her in his place. She caused so much tension on the set and changed the way the show had been shot for so long that the director of photography quit. Such a huge part of the show quit. Another person, and he started firing people that he worked with forever. And so he was really handling it irrationally and doing everything to protect this woman, to stay with this woman, obsessing over her. But they're kind of blaming her, like she cheated and that's why he killed himself. His addiction to her, you can blame heroin when someone ODs or the drug dealer, and I'm not going to blame him either, but it was a disease of love. If it wasn't her, he would have become obsessed with someone else. I don't want her to now want to kill herself because she's a toxic, she made bad decisions that hurt him, but I don't think it's anyone's fault. As someone who had a friend who killed himself over my best friend and her not loving him and trying to blame her and her suffering the feelings of guilt associated with that, it had nothing to, it had something, she was the trigger, but it would have been something else eventually. Point a finger at this girl who maybe didn't handle their relationship the best way and was toxic for him and a just toxic person in general. I don't know her, but I don't think it was her fault, but it's just, we just want answers. We want to be able to blame someone for this stuff because we go, Anthony, he wouldn't do that. This is totally this was very out of character for him, as most people would have reported. We just lost Andrew, and that's for the best. We got to go. Thank you so much for listening. He literally just stepped off. I think he just met Asia Argento and is changing his life to be with her. So watch out, Brenna. Sorry, he's moving on. Thank you for listening. Don't be cool out there, and we'll see you tomorrow on the show. Bye.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less.
Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.